Check out Dobbs April deals before you make your next tire or service purchase, including super BOGO deals on oil changes, plus great deals on new sets of tires. Bumper to bumper, your dollars go further at Dobbs. Click on gotodobbs.com for April deals now.
Meet Sumner One, your go-to source for all things office technology. We're proud to be one of the largest independently owned providers in the region with 11 strategic locations across 5 states. At Sumner One, we specialize in workplace solutions, enterprise print, production print, large format solutions, cutting-edge document technology, and more. Quality, service, and innovation. That's the Sumner One advantage. Visit us online at sumneronecom. That's SUMNER1.com. Sumner One, welcome to the one place where everything works.
When Jackson Holliday got the word that he was being called up the other night, Matt Holliday started looking for flights, couldn't find any from Stillwater, so that he could make his way to his son Matthew or Jackson's MLB debut in Boston. It's hard to get there. So Matt Holliday had to call in a favor and get a friend who owns a plane to fly him to Boston. And Greg Amsinger's on the line right now. How did it feel to get that phone call from Matt Holliday?
I'm telling you, when I hear all these baseball players' travel stories, which throughout the years of their careers, they sound awful. Once again, I'm reminded how lucky I am that I was never good enough to play in the major league.
Pretty lucky, huh?
Oh, my goodness. It sounds grueling. Yeah. I mean, those long chartered flights where they're playing cards and eating and drinking whatever they want. No, thank you. Not for me.
Hey, Greg, before we get to the Cardinals, let's talk about the Jackson Holliday debut, even though he went 0 for 4. I know that you have high hopes for him. How good do you think Jackson Holliday can be?
Well, look, how good do they think he is? They called him up before April 13th, which means they're counting on him finishing in the top three for AL Rookie of the Year. And every step along the way, he's passed with flying colors. He should have made the team out of spring training after hitting over 300, a few home runs, playing sparkling defense. And for anyone to watch him try to catch that pop-up last night in shallow right field, the Bermuda Triangle, as they call it, and drop it, windy last night in Boston, second base is not his natural position. So we see all of these kids get moved over to second base. Bryce Terang last year with the Brewers, who's off to a terrific start in his sophomore season. To me, it takes a while for those guys. So let him kind of ease into that. I was a bit surprised that Gunnar Henderson's holding on that spot at short, because I think Jackson Holliday can play over there. He moves around to me like Francisco Lindor, and he's going to be a very similar type of player. I think he's going to hit for more average than Francisco Lindor. He's faster than Francisco Lindor. He's a star in the making, and good for Matt Holliday and his family. And from everything I'm hearing, his other son, who's still in high school, who's sitting next to him, is like the truth. He's the LeBron of baseball on his way. He's a right-handed hitting, taller version, faster version of Bryce Harper.
And by the way,
that's coming. The Holliday family is going to take over baseball.
I want to mention this, Greg, because people last year, when Matt Holliday abruptly turned down the Cardinal bench coach job after accepting it, last night is the reason that he turned down that job. There was nothing nefarious here. He wanted to be able to celebrate these sorts of things with his family. He could afford to do so. And there was nothing with the Cardinals, there was nothing with the team that caused Matt Holliday to not be the Cardinal bench coach. It's all about having the opportunity to see Jackson's major league debut, to work with Ethan as he approaches being the number one pick in next year's draft. That's why Matt Holliday isn't a Cardinal bench coach.
You do not get these games back. You don't. And good for Matt. I do the same thing. I'll tell you a personal story. As broadcasters, we have agents. We're similar in a way of athletes, except we're just not athletic. And we negotiate contracts. In my contract, my last three contracts, my daughter started to become a very good basketball player in high school. I submitted her basketball schedule every year. It was actually language in my contract that they would do everything in their power to let me have that day off to go watch her play. And that has remained the same throughout her college basketball career. She's a Division III player at Swarthmore College in Philadelphia. And this stuff matters to me. If you have the means to do it, you're not missing a game. I've been able to sit and watch some of the greatest sporting events of all time. I'm a blessed man. But I would pass up any ticket to sit courtside and watch my daughter or my son play basketball. My son's also a competitive golfer. To watch him golf, to watch your kids compete is a dream come true. It's better than actually playing yourself. It's, matter of fact, 10 times more nerve-wracking. So I completely understand why he did it. Every fan should understand why he did it. Matt Holliday's a family man. If you know him, he is obsessed with his family. Great dude. I was so happy to watch him have that dad moment last night.
Greg, taking a look at the Cardinals, Sonny Gray's debut might have been limited, but he didn't look limited in his capabilities on the mound the other day. What did you see from his first start as a Cardinal?
You know, it's weird, Brooke. Every time he got a strikeout, every time he stranded runners and he walked up the mound with zeros on the board, you know what I saw? I saw Randy Carricker's face. All I saw was an image of Randy Carricker who was saying to all of us, that I don't think this guy's a number one. I just kept thinking about our dear friend. And as I kept watching him go out there, I know he only pitched 5 innings, but I hope everyone saw a snapshot of what's to come. He's going to be a great starter for the St. Louis Cardinals. Gamer of a guy. When you meet him, he fits the culture of what Cardinal baseball is about. His tail's wagging when he shows up to the yard, even though he probably got the last big contract of his career. The Cardinals do their homework. I think the way the starting rotation is performing right now is as expected, and it's a dramatic improvement over what we saw last year. It's going to be headlined by many more starts from Sonny Gray. That's just one. This is good. This is being executed the way the front office dreamt it would be, and it's going to end up okay in St. Louis. I know you're going to wake up this morning and you're going to see the Cardinal logo at the bottom of the NL Central standings. They're only 3.5 games out. They're getting their bearings. There's still some young guys on this opening day roster that are trying to figure it out. This team's talented. They're going to win the Central.
Now, go ahead, Randy.
I just want to find out if Greg is surprised that Sylvio Martinez hasn't been voted to a red jacket status yet by Cardinal
fans.
Oh, my
goodness. I swear, Randy. I mean, this is just, I mean, you have so many weapons in your holster that you can come out and use on the radio. My goodness, man.
I love what Sonny Gray did. People think that I don't think he's good because I don't think he's Max Scherzer or Justin Verlander or Gerrit Cole or Clayton Kershaw. I don't think that he is a number one. I don't think he's one of the top 4 or 5 aces in the league. That doesn't mean I think he's a bad pitcher. I just think that the Cardinals need a legitimate number one if they're going to win a World Series.
I agree with that. Win a World Series? Yeah, and they need more than just a legitimate number one. I think you have to win the marathon before you can talk about the sprint. And if they can get to the trade deadline atop the standings, and now we start to reimagine a few spots on the roster to compete in October and maybe win a World Series, then you reassess. You got to get there. And this was the smartest way to get there.
Now, on the flip side, you got to look at the offense and the lack of production, in particular Arenado, Goldie, Walker. What are you and the guys on the set seeing with that trio?
You know, I'll tell you this, Dan, if the weak links are the three names you just named, I think you're feeling much, much better about it. I mean, Ivan Herrera is a special player, a 23-year-old catcher. He's got to play. And there aren't many catchers that age that get thrown into the middle of the order. And then you see why they're thrown into the middle of the order. There's a lot to dream on. Look, is Scott going to eventually get it going? Yeah, it was so hard to see him. You know, what happened at first base yesterday, the infield single. It's eventually going to happen. I don't know if he's running out of time with Newt Barr, Edmund on the mend, maybe with Dylan Carlson at some point. We'll be back in the mix. This is a lineup that we haven't seen click yet, top to bottom. Donovan's off to a terrific start, but we're still waiting on guys. And I think that's a good sign. The fact that they're as competitive as they are right now, the biggest bugaboo is what we're going to get from the starting pitching. It looks good early on, in my estimation. I think Ryan Helsley looks better than he's ever thrown lately. He looks terrific. Break, man. I'm good. I like what I'm seeing from the pen. I like what I'm seeing from the starting rotation overall. And if the worry is Goldie and Arenado, that's going to definitely figure itself out. So wait till it's all going in the right direction. Cardinal baseball is going to be a dominant force in the Central. I keep saying it. I'm bullish about it, but I'm really believing in this roster.
Greg, last year the Pittsburgh Pirates got off to a start similar to the one they're off to this year, and then after June they wound up tanking and wound up 76-86. Are this year's Pirates better than last year's?
Yeah, I think they are because of the experience they had last year. Derek Shelton's a great baseball man. He is a terrific manager. He has a lot of similarities to Torey Lovullo in my eyes. And when the Diamondbacks lost over 100 games And Mike Hazen was going through all those horrible offseason issues, his wife dying. It was a terrible vibe right there at the Arizona Diamondbacks. I kept saying there's no way Troy Lovello gets let go. You can't fire a manager for a roster that is not ready to compete yet. And Troy Lovello is a great baseball man, leader of men. I truly believe that he's one of the best in the business, even when they lost over 100 games. I put Derek Shelton in that same category. I think he's that great of a communicator. And to me, when players know that your manager's got your back, and this guy's on the top step on every pitch, and he's ready to go fight for his guys, I think he's leading them in a very slow drip direction. Last year was disappointing after the way they started, but because they had that experience and there's so many faces back from last year's team, and O'Neill Cruz looks like the real deal, by the way. Like, real deal. And Ellie De La Cruz, by the way, in Cincinnati, another gigantic shortstop getting it going again, another home run yesterday. These two guys are changing the game and what we see and what we dreamt about at short. But Cruz looks like he's here to stay. Brian Reynolds was a smart, steady Eddie sign to have him locked up for a while. I don't know if Henry Davis is the long-term catcher. That's a question mark. But for them, it comes down to the starting pitching. When Paul Skenes debuts, the former number one overall pick, if you're excited about Jackson Holliday and you're a baseball fan, you're going to tune in to watch Paul Skenes and easy, easy one-on-one come out of his hand. I mean, it looks like he's playing long toss when he's on the mound. It is fun to watch this kid pitch. He's on the way. The Pirates are going to be in the mix. I had them over 500 when the season started, finishing third in Central. They're going to have a winning season. This is a team that they're going to, everyone in the Central is going to have to deal with.
Greg, I know it's something that you've seen, and it's hard for Cardinals fans to see as well. Other players going on after they leave the organization doing well. Jordan Hicks is rolling as a starter for the Giants, and Tyler O'Neill is just absolutely mashing for the Red Sox. Who do you predict is going to have the most successful season this year?
Oh, that's a really good question. I would not be surprised if both of them were in Arlington for the All-Star game. I think overall, Jordan Hicks is just a really unique talent. The Boston Red Sox have a ton of outfield depth, young outfielders. So to me, the second Tyler O'Neill goes into a bit of a skid, who knows if they're going to be so loyal to him and they're not going to play one of the many outfielders they have at the AAA level and even at the big league level. I just think Jordan Hicks needed the commitment as a starter, and he got it from a team he never played for, which is mind-boggling to me. But the San Francisco Giants had to think outside the box to rebrand themselves. And they're getting back to what worked when they won three world championships. Even though it's a completely different regime, if you go back and look at those teams that were led by Bruce Bochy, yeah, they had Buster Posey. That was a, you know, from the farm system kind of star. They struck it big with him. But it was a bunch of guys that weren't offensive juggernauts. There were no offensive superstars on that team. And they didn't hit many home runs. Matter of fact, one year they won the World Series, they had fewest home runs in the National League. But they were built on starting pitching and a terrific bullpen. And what you're looking at now, while the Rodgers twins are up to a bit of a slow start, they're the setup guys for the San Francisco Giants, you got to believe in the track record of their pen. And I love what they've done in the starting rotation. Robbie Ray's going to come back at some point. You're going to get Cobb back. And with Jordan Hicks, with this reclamation project of, you know what, we're going to give you a multi-year contract. We believe in you as a starter. The way he's thrown so far through three starts, that contract looks like the bargain of the offseason. You can't overlook stuff. He always had it. Had maybe the best stuff, naturally, of any pitcher in the game. And the Giants were willing to take a risk. And unfortunately, there's so many front offices, including the Cardinals, I hate to say it, that are risk-avoidant. They do not want to roll the dice on anybody because they have so many other options. But I love watching an organization kind of hitch their wagon to somebody's future and go and have the accountability to sync with them if it doesn't work. And that's what the Giants do with Jordan Hicks. Worst case scenario, you got a flamethrower coming out of the bullpen. I thought it was a brilliant move. He's enjoying it. And I think, to answer your question, Jordan Hicks is here to stay. And the Cardinals are going to have to watch this guy compete like this for a few years.
What's the theory going around on Major League Baseball as to why there's so many injuries with the starting pitching? Really good guys that are out there, hard throwers, less than hard throwers, just in general, the starting pitching and the epidemic that's going on with these guys getting hurt.
So I know you know this guy, and he's one of my best friends. I love John Smoltz, Hall of Famer. I call him former Cardinal John Smoltz. And I was on the phone with him yesterday for quite a long time. Apparently, he was interviewed by The Athletic, and they're going to have a major write-up. But John went off on this topic, and he cares a lot about this topic. look, you're right. There are a lot of guys hitting 100 miles an hour, hitting 101, hitting 102. But there are probably 1 to 5% of those guys that were literally built, that have the DNA to do that. Their body shouldn't be doing that. So we've got all of this incredible technology off the field to get kids that were never meant to throw 100 miles an hour. They don't have the actual tissue, the muscle mass to do it. We're getting them ramped up to do this, to do something they were never meant to do. And then we're shocked and their bodies break down. So I call the regular season a baseball marathon for a reason. There's no sport like it. To have guys compete in a marathon, even if you're pitching every fifth day or you're a bullpen guy and you're not throwing multiple innings, to do it for the span of 7 months, to get your body ready to do it at a high level for 7 months, you're doing something, throwing a baseball unnaturally in a way that you were never meant to throw that hard. Inevitably, you're going to break down. And that's the way John Smoltz looks at this. He's not over-focusing on the pitch clock. He's not over-focusing on the new baseballs. He's not over-focusing on the height of the mound. He's not focusing on anything but the fact that there's an obsession with velocity and spin. And every front office is overflowing with humans that never played. Humans that never played the game. And this is where we've gotten. This is the result of a sport that has people that have never played, that are valuing people that play monetarily, giving them contracts of what they think is valuable, and pretty much letting the world know what they value and what they think is important. And when it comes to pitching, it's not length, it's not pitchability, it's not Jordan Montgomery. We want a flamethrower reliever who can go 4 to 5 innings. And that is going to get you paid. And that's not sustainable. It's not going to work long term. And if there is a guy that you say is working long term, he's probably already had Tommy John or he's about to have his second. So to me, I'm with John Smoltz on this. I think it's an overfixation on velocity and spin. And we've got to get back to the day where the irony of it, someone like Tommy John could walk onto the mound and compete at a big league level. And right now, if a guy like that walked onto a big league mound, you would think it's old-timers day at the ballpark. That's a real thing. So we've got to get back to a day where someone who can manipulate a baseball to an 80 to 85 miles an hour has a place in our sport.
Finally, Greg, before we let you go, I brought up Silvio Martinez earlier, his Cardinal debut, May 30th of 1978 at New York. 6 no-hit innings. He only allowed 1 hit over 9 against the Mets. And I believe because of that, he should be fitted for a red jacket, just like Sonny Gray should.
Oh, my goodness. Time out. There's a commitment to Sonny Gray, a multi-million dollar commitment. So there was a bit of pressure on his shoulders when he finally made his first start in Cardinal Red. So for him to come out and pitch like that, we should not be joking, Randy. We should be recognizing that the Cardinals made a good decision so far. We'll see how it plays out, but I'm feeling very good about the Sonny Gray of 2024. I think it's going to be a banner season for him, and I think the Cardinals are going to enjoy their ace, their number one, Sonny Gray.
I love your positivity, and he was great. Let's give credit where credit is due. Greg, we'll be tuned in, as always, when you're on MLB Tonight. Thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it, and have a great day.
All right, guys. Take care. See you.
See you, man. That is the great Greg Amsinger of MLB Network, a native of St. Louis and a product of the Lindenwood University here on 101 ESPN.